except Tula doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage.
Walt Dip to the Road Rage. We are back. Lots to get to. You want and you can get in 654-7627. Let me tell you about Canty. Water in the crawl space can sit there for months or years. Standing water in the home can damage the foundation, rot wooden beams and joists, cause mold and mildew, contribute to unhealthy air inside the home. That's no good. You don't want little DeVito and Shirley getting lung issues. No, you don't. Standing water that musty smell in your basement can sign a major problem for you and your home if not addressed. Canty Foundation Specialists are your trusted local expert in basement waterproofing and crawl space repair. Canty offers solutions to fit any home or budget. Even the smallest leaks aren't going to get better over time. So call Canty today, 1-803-373-0949. 1-803-373-0949. Tell them I sent you. It's the way it works. They offer free inspections, lifetime warranties, financing is available if needed. They're the absolute best. You'll thank me later. Cracks in your exterior, interior walls, uneven floors or doors, windows that are hard to open, call 1-803-373-0949. Visit their website, cantycanfixit.com, C-A-N-T-E-Y. Ramona, do you suppose there's a single family in America with two children named DeVito and Shirley?
In the same family.
See, that's the dilemma. See, there can be a DeVito over here with, you know, some other girl's name, but I don't think there's a DeVito and a Shirley.
I don't think not together.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. I know. I was drawing a blank on the women's name. DeVito, I stole from our listener DeVito, who I just responded to a tweet on. All right, we have lots to get to. I want to go back for a second to the CBS list, the post-spring top 25. If you missed this, we started this a couple days ago. We just haven't got into it in great depth. But this is their post-spring look at the top 25. They have Texas number one, as we discussed. And I'm fine with this. I think Texas is going to be in contention. I do think they have a brutal schedule that they're going to have to navigate. We'll find out about that. But, you know, Ramon, I saw another list that was a listing of the toughest schedules in the SEC, and it listed Arkansas as the toughest schedule. Now, Arkansas is not going to be in anybody's top 25, and they're not in this one, but I was curious about what that Arkansas schedule consisted of. Can you look that up? Look up the Arkansas football schedule, because I think the Texas schedule is pretty brutal. This other listing had Oklahoma's schedule ranked more difficult than Texas. I don't think so. I think Texas has to have one of the more difficult schedules in the country. Now, I think they're built for it, and so I'm still buying Texas, but I'm not ready to come out with my top 25. I'm still thinking about it a little bit. And, you know, let's be honest. The world of college football has changed so much that the preseason top 25 has probably been never more worthless than it is right now, because you just don't know the impact of all the transfer portal elements. It's hard to predict it. It's almost like you need to see these teams play for a few weeks. I mean, last year, I mean, I felt we were like halfway through the season before I was really, you know, normally I don't like picking games in week one. I've made this clear because I like to see teams play. I have an idea of what they're going to be, but I want to see if my idea meets reality for at least week one. Last year, I felt it was like halfway through the season, and there were still teams I was trying to figure out, which is not normal, at least not from my perspective. It's not normal. All right, what do you have?
Okay, their first game is North Alabama.
Okay, that won't help them, their argument for the most difficult schedule.
Then they're at Utah.
Arkansas's at Utah?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean, that's a game they'll lose.
Then they have Georgia at home.
Okay, that's tough.
Tulsa at home.
Okay, so, I mean, They're probably 2-2 at this point.
They're at Texas A&M. No, Tulsa. Did I say Tulsa? Yeah.
Yeah.
At Texas A&M.
Okay, that's a loss.
Tennessee at home.
Okay, probably a loss.
At Vanderbilt.
I guess a loss. You know, there's no Diego Pavia.
Missouri at home.
Okay, it's probably a loss.
At Auburn.
Probably a loss.
South Carolina at home.
Probably a loss.
At Texas.
Loss.
And then LSU at home.
I mean, there aren't any gimmies on that. I mean, that schedule's tough. No question about it. There aren't any gimmies. I don't know if that schedule's tougher than Texas's, though. I'm not sure about that. I think I would still opt for Texas's. I also want to talk about the AFCA, the American Football Coaches Association, this decision that has been rendered that we are going to have a 2014 playoff, or at least it seems like a mortal lack certainty we are going to. Tar Heel Chad. Chad, how are you, Chad? Good to have you.
You got that Tar Heel schedule locked and loaded right in front of your screen, right in front of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mighty power.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I always have that schedule up. Yeah. Do you want us to look that up, Chad? Do you want us to check that out?
It's like a 2-10 kind of a deal, 3-9.
So we don't need to, though.
You don't need to.
Okay.
How long is there a chance Petrino becomes coach by, let's say, week 5 or 6?
Yeah, I mean, I think North Carolina is a mess. I don't think there's going to be a salvation.
Can you listen to this, what I just said? Bobby Petrino and Bill Belichick are on the same sideline together. How crazy. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And don't forget Chickadee, the
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bill better keep Jordan away from Bobby. He's had a tendency to drift off.
Yeah, that's true. Jordan allegedly is how old again? 20 what is she? How old is she?
25 ish.
Yeah. But in reality we all know she's going on 50. She's a rugged 25-ish.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Rugged's probably a good way.
Yeah, rugged.
The only thing that could be worse is if Vrabel gets fired and ends up as D.C. It would be a mess.
Well, yeah, and look, that seems possible to me. I know everyone thinks this is not an NFL matter, et cetera, but, you know,
And there must be a vault of videos and pictures somewhere. I mean, someone's got a whole casket full of dead body pictures.
Casket full, yeah.
To expose
them. Yeah, and they it just keeps coming up. I mean, it's a story that will not die. And we haven't even got to that yet today, but we will.
Last thing I got. I mean, we're doing everything we possibly can to destroy college athletics. I know it's popular. I know gambling people are gambling. The 76 team field, I mean, can we just do one more thing just to destroy everything?
Right. You know, if you wanted to really create a dynamic, tremendous NCAA basketball tournament, you'd bring it back to 40. You'd bring it back to 48, and you would have an unbelievable tourney of really good teams and great games. Instead, we just want to water it down more for the sake of economics.
I think you might. You're a little bit older than I am, but before they expanded in 85, was it 84, 85 when they expanded? The 64.
Yeah.
Do you remember how great the games were in the early 80s?
Yeah, I just think that that's what college basketball needs. It doesn't need expansion. It doesn't need a watered down product. What we are opening to, look, let's be honest. This is about the power leagues wanting more power teams.
Absolutely.
This is not about giving births to other people. This is about making sure we get the friggin' Auburns of the world from this year in the tournament. Teams that achieve nothing during the year. This should be about achievement, reward for achievement. There should be some there should be some modicum of expectation regarding you winning something. You shouldn't be able to lose all your league games and get into the NCAA tournament. I don't care who you are. You have advantage. You also have a second chance in the conference tournament. If you fail miserably, now we're going to give you a third chance. We're going to force your way in. Those teams don't belong in this tournament, and you're further watering down the product.
All the power teams have all the advantages and chances you can possibly get.
Exactly right.
Anyway.
So all we're going to do is jam more of those loser teams into the field.
All right, last question. The 24, which we're going to 24, do you think it stops there? Do you think we're at the end from a football perspective?
Yeah.
Or do you think Mike Leach Mike Leach wanted 64?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think they're going, is this a short-term thing, or do you think this is it?
Yeah, I think this is it. I think that this was the ultimate goal, and they're going to reach it in one massive step and maybe skip some steps along the way, but...
Are you a fan of it?
Look, this is one of the rare things I see both sides of, but I'm by and large, Chad, my answer is yes. I know there are some elements of it. You know, you're going to have some lesser teams in, but again, it creates more meaningful games. It creates a greater interest level in more areas of the country. I think that it's already proven to my satisfaction that the 12 is awesome. I mean, it was awesome to watch last year. Miami, who I don't know what they would have been ranked, but Miami made the field and wound up playing for the national title and nearly winning it. And again, they would not have made the field under the prior four-team playoff field. I think that proves that you needed playoff expansion. Things happen during a year. Teams get injured. They go through streaks. I mean, this is why we have playoffs. There weren't enough teams. We were not – college football was not fairly represented. When you have 135 teams or so and you have four playoff teams, that's just stupid. That's stupid, and all you're guaranteeing is you're guaranteeing an imbalance in the world of college football. So I think playoff expansion creates more interest, more balance, more involvement. And, you know, this stuff about watering down the product, I don't know, maybe a little bit as it relates to football. But again, look, I don't think you can expand football beyond that. Okay, to me, if you expand it beyond 24, you actually might bring in physical danger to the element by having some significantly lesser teams. I think basketball, you can reasonably still push it. I don't think you can in football. And I don't think there's going to be any effort to go beyond 24. I think they're trying to get to the end game in one jump, and they're going to do it. So I think that's where
fair enough.
At. Yep. Thank you, Chad.
Take care, buddy.
In terms of, you know what, let me get back to this. I'll get back to this in a minute because there are several other things I want to say about this. Then we'll jump back to the to that college football poll because there's a lot more I want to say about that too. So we'll get to all of that. There's also a basketball poll that I want to touch on, whether time allows today or not is in question. Let me tell you about the Lake Kiwi Giant Spring Clearance Sale. Hurry in for the best selection. Get there now before the vehicle you want gets sold. With discounts this big, these vehicles are going to fly. Big news, Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram Spring Clearance Sale is on. So this is your chance to get the biggest discounts of the year. I'm talking saving up to $15,000 off the sticker price on new trucks. That's just crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and saving $15,000 on a new truck is insanity. You want a new F-150 or a new Ram? Lake Kiwi's got a bunch of them to choose from. Not sure which you want at Lake Kiwi? You can test drive them both. Do a side-by-side comparison. See which truck you like best. Lake Kiwi also has a ton of low-mileage, one-owner, pre-owned trucks in stock. You can test drive those too. Fact is, Lake Kiwi has over 600 vehicles on the lot and ready for delivery. It's the biggest selection in the upstate. They're all clearance price for the spring clearance sale. And get this, buy now, get zero payment for 90 days, plus 0% financing is available. So hurry to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson. Shop online at lakekiwiautogroup.com. You will 100% thank me later. Also, before we go to break, let me tell you about my friend David Green and the Green Law Firm. I don't think I met anybody who's had a good experience with the IRS. You're not sure how to deal with the IRS. You haven't filed several years. You haven't filed. You haven't paid. I don't know. You're thinking of moving to Idaho and fishing with Henry Winkler for the rest of your life. That might be okay for a weekend, but not the rest of your life. I mean, dude's boring. At day three, you're going to kill yourself. No, don't do any of that stuff. Stay where your feet are, as Deborah Sweeney always says. Call my man David Green. Whatever issue, an adult should not live in fear of their mailbox. No. Mailbox you should not fear. David has all the answers. David, by the way, is a Clemson grad, has been dealing with the IRS for over 20 years. He has great working relationships with local and national IRS agents. Don't call any of these 1-800 numbers you hear about on the radio and call some person. You have no idea who they are or what their motivation is. David's been helping hundreds and hundreds of people in the upstate right here for over 20 years. His office is here. His school is here. His commitment is here. David is committed to you. He'll help you. The Green Law Firm understands the ever-changing tax laws, what the IRS will accept as a compromise. As a matter of fact, David Green understands the Fresh Start program, and he'll certainly use this IRS program to your best advantage. The Green Law Firm can't change your past, but they can certainly change your future. Get the peace of mind and results you're entitled to from the local law firm that's been helping hundreds of folks in the upstate for over 20 years. The professional staff of the Green Law Firm can do it all. Do yourself a big favor. Call the Green Law Firm today for a free strategy session. Free. 271-7940, 271-7940, or stop by their office, 11 McGee Street in Greenville, on the web, greenlaw.legal. That's green, G-R-E-E-N-E, greenlaw.legal. You'll thank me later. Quick break. As a freshman, you look like a sure bet, top 5-10 pick. What happened? Two things happened, JD. One, as a freshman, all he really was a sick'em guy. He didn't have any real responsibilities other than they used him as a pass rusher. As his career went on, they couldn't figure out what to do with him. He's undersized. He's very undersized. And they just could not figure out where to play him. And he never really did find a home. He moved all around the LSU defense and never really found a home. Because really, the best thing he does is if you line him up as a situational sub-package pass rusher, that's the best thing he does. But the problem is, from a National Football League standpoint, he's just too small for that. So he doesn't really have a position, and that's going to be true at the pro level. He also isn't good enough in coverage to think that you could convert him to like a strong safety. So I think he has limitations there. So to me, I think what the Falcons did is you draft him as a special teams player because he should be a special teams demon. And then if he works his way into a bigger role somewhere, I think that's what you do. So I think that's where we are. What is this? Corey says, I disagree with you. While dude's as talented as anyone in the draft as far as an outside linebacker, it's character issues that the NFL is concerned with. I'm sorry, you're talking about Harold Perkins? No, Corey, trust me, he's not. He's not good enough. He's just not good enough. I mean, again, LSU tried everything with him. He had no position. And he doesn't have a position at the pro game. What's his position, Corey? He doesn't have one. He's too undersized. He's too small. He's just not good enough. He's not good enough really in any one area. He's not. What he's gonna be, he'll be really good in special teams. And I'm just not sure he'll ever be more than that. I don't know that he's ever a starting player in the National Football League. And if he is, tell me which position. Because again, LSU couldn't find one for him. I mean, is he a will? Is he a strong safety? He's not good enough in coverage to be a strong safety. That's the other part of it. He's fairly athletic, but he was an impactful player as a freshman, when he had like 7 sacks. But beyond that, he just really hasn't done much of anything the rest of his career. And they just couldn't find a spot for him. 940 says, sounds like another Isaiah Simmons. Well, in a way, yes. In a way, no. Obviously, Simmons, completely different body type, longer, more athletic. But, you know, Isaiah Simmons was a guy who, again, at the NFL level, there just hasn't been a position for him. But, yeah, Corey, trust me, the NFL, the National Football League didn't have 6 rounds worth of teams pass on him because of character. Your character would have to be awful for that to be the case. It just wasn't the case. I'm telling you from an analysis standpoint, there was never any question in my mind of whether Harold Perkins was going to be a top 100 player. The chances of that were zero. He was never in concern. I didn't have him in my top 200 players, and it had nothing to do with character. He's just not a super impactful player. Now, again, maybe once he comes in as a special teams player, maybe he finds some footing and maybe he gets a jumping off point. Maybe somebody finds a position for him. I just don't know what that would be. Texas said, does he remind you of Rendrick Taylor? Well, I mean, Rendrick Taylor was a freak, but I mean, just wasn't a particularly good football player. So I don't think, you know, pro football was ever really in the offing. Ramona, our friend Aaron Rodgers, before we get back to any of this, Aaron Rodgers, remember the Pittsburgh Steelers expressed some frustration the other day?
Yeah, they were frustrated. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is, I want you to hear this closely, he is visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend.
Huh? What? He already works for them.
See, what? Ramona frequently will get to the nuts and bolts of something in a hurry that some of us
what?
Will dance
I
around.
Mean, what?
But yeah, you see, this is exactly my. This is like now, this has become now like a high school player going for his official team visit to his college team. The distinction is, as Ramona says, he already works for them. Exactly. He was their starting
quarterback. He's going to go around and act like, I'll see if y'all are good enough for me.
Right, right.
Like a tour?
Right. He was their starting quarterback last year, but he's going to go on a team visit.
Okay.
You know, and what
they're
I wondered about.
Did him do that?
Apparently. You know, hey, look, they finally at least are going to have him in the building again.
I don't care. He would have to be. I don't care if he was the greatest quarterback ever. His antics would get on my nerves.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
That would be it for
the
me.
Steelers should have told this guy to freak off a long time ago and hit the road. That's what they should have told him a long time ago, but they didn't. And so he's going to go on his official visit this weekend. And what I wonder about is, like, at the end of the visit, will he put his cap on a table to choose which
like
cap?
They do.
Yeah, maybe with other sponsors that are paying him money. What's the insurance company? Is it whatever insurance company? Whatever they are. All of the things that he has sponsorships with, he can put all those caps on the table along with the Pittsburgh Steelers cap and decide which one he's going to do.
I wouldn't go through that. I just couldn't.
Well, again, there's another reason not to.
It's not like last year, you know, they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they're like, oh, my God, he was just
exactly.
on the edge. You know, now he's not worth all the trouble.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to say, you know what, that person is not worth the trouble. I don't care how great they are.
Right. Well, and he's a well-known world-class a-hole. He won our world-class a-hole poll in runaway fashion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's more. And the rest of it is just like common sense. Listen, the Steelers have been locked in this perpetual limbo of being 9-8, 10-7, barely getting into the playoffs or not, you know, and that's where they've been. So they're always drafting around 20 or so, and they can never get a quarterback because they're just not willing to spend the capital to move up. So all Aaron Rodgers brings you is he brings you another 9-8 season. That's the best he can do. He's not getting you. He's not winning any playoff games. You're not going to the Super Bowl, as Ramona said. You're not going to achieve any of that. So actually, he's hurting you, because what you really need to do is find out whether your young quarterback plays, can play, and that whether that's Drew Aller or Will Howard, find out whether they can play and go 5-12. That's what you need to do. You need to have a 5-12 season so that you're in position to draft another quarterback. And they haven't had a quarterback since 4 years from the end of Roethlisberger's career. So instead, they're letting this guy jerk them around and off to be a mediocre team, and then wind up in the same perpetual draft limbo they're always in. What I'm saying is they would be way better off semi-tanking. You know, find out whether the young guys can play. If that means you go, if that means you go 4-13, that's great. So now I can finally get my quarterback and we can move on. We'll finally have an answer. But if he wins 9 games, he's actually going to screw you over every way possible. He's going to be a world-class A-hole in year two. You can count on that.
Yeah. I mean, he's already started.
Right.
This is part of next year. Whether they're going to play or not.
Exactly right. Stupid. You are going to get the worst world-class A-hole version of Aaron Rodgers this year. There's no question about that. And he's going to be just good enough to make you like a 500 team and screw up your draft. That's what he's going to do. I don't understand what the Steelers are doing with this guy. I really don't. It's just stupid. They have not thought this through in any way, shape, or form of what this really means and what this.
And now he's gonna go visit.
Right. He's gonna
and
visit.
The whole time he's there, he's probably gonna talk about what he wants him to change and all this other stuff.
It's the Toby Keith song. He wants to talk about me. Let's talk about him.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, again,
go get in the box.
Right. It's like you gotta play a dating game with him now. You know, it's like the high school thing.
Yeah, I'm going from my official days. Right. And did they not see what he did to the Jets?
Right.
Were they not paying attention?
Right. So now he's gonna go on his official visit to the Steelers, and they're gonna have to wine and dine him, take him to the strip club.
I swear, I wouldn't do any of that. I wouldn't do. I just wouldn't. It wouldn't be worth it.
It's not worth it. It's utterly ridiculous.
Like you say, use the other guys, see if they're any good. Who knows? You might get somebody decent.
Let me ask you a question, Ramona. I see Katie on line one. Is Katie the mother of the girl who had the Aaron Rodgers incident?
I don't know. I have to see.
Yeah, find that out. I'm sort of curious. Orange Bill says, I would have, the article I read said the Steelers didn't even know he was coming this weekend. Well, they seem to now, whatever that's worth, they seem to now. It's just, the whole thing is just dumb. And like I said, he's actually going to wind up screwing them over, not just with who he is in year two, but more importantly, they're going to be right back in that same quarterback situation. It just never ends. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Kiwi Financial Group. Through personal, life, business, financial planning, or estate planning, your financial advisor should be by your side, like the advisors at Kiwi Financial in Clemson. Kiwi Financial Group is growing. They have a new advisor on staff, Lindsay Armay. Lindsay is willing to work hard for you, and her service will be the same service you've come to expect from Kiwi Financial and Greg Wales. If you aren't getting the attention and the information you deserve from your current financial advisor, Lindsay May and Greg Wales want to earn your business and your trust. Your financial advisor should know your goals, help push you towards them, send you frequent updates and encouragement along the way. Your financial advisor should also educate you on any new financial approaches to help better grow your portfolio and your return on investments. Lindsay and Greg know you've worked hard for your money, and now you need it to work for you. They will be there for you through the mountains and valleys of life, educating, advising, helping lead you to a more fulfilling financial future. If you just want more from your money and your financial advisor services, schedule your free consultation by calling Kiwi Financial at 504-654-5043 or visit kiwifinancial.com for more info. That's kiwifinancial.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Gradient Securities, otherwise unaffiliated with Kiwi Financial. All right, we'll take a quick break. Is that Josiah? Josiah, we'll get to you on the other side.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones.
How are you?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, I've called the show. I think this is my second time. I listen to the station quite a bit. I appreciate you guys, and it entertains me quite a bit. I get a lot of crap from my coworkers about listening to the station and the equipment. When I get out of the equipment and they get in, they're like, "What the heck are you listening to?" But it brings me enjoyment.
Well, good. Thank you, Josiah. Appreciate that.
Now, I just wanted to call about. I heard you talking about Aaron Rodgers, and I agree he's kind of a weirdo. But as far as like holding the Steelers back, you know, he's keeping them mediocre. Basically, is what you're saying. Couldn't you argue that that's what Mike Tomlin had done for a decade or had done?
Well, I think the issue is always the same. It's that they haven't had a quarterback. I think Tomlin often overachieved. When you look at the quarterbacks they've had, they've just been terrible. I mean, they have not had a quarterback since 4 years from the end of Roethlisberger. In other words, his last 3 years, they didn't have one either. You know, so you have to go back 4 years from the end of his career to find the last time the Steelers had a quarterback. And offensively, they've been ranked below 23 or below for 8 straight seasons. And that's just not good enough. You know, there was a game where Tomlin's playing Baltimore in the playoff. And at halftime, the reporter asked him, you know, well, you know, what's going on with you're losing? And Tomlin's playing Russell Wilson at quarterback. And Mike Tomlin says, well, they have Lamar. You know, like, what do you think's going to happen? You know, like, I'm not God, you know, and I think that's right. I mean, you have to have a quarterback. And the Steelers have been perpetually in this same place now, look, you have other franchises. Like, when Kansas City saw Patrick Mahomes available where they did, they made a move to go get him. The Steelers just don't do that kind of stuff. They're stuck in the same sort of rut all the time. And that's the position they have to fix. And all I'm saying is, if you just sort of acknowledge, look, this guy is not good enough at 43 and hasn't been good enough for a long time to have us win the Super Bowl, then what's the point of dealing with this nonsense to finish 8-9 or 9-8 and be stuck at the 21st spot again? I'm sort of saying, you know, play the young guys. Play Howard and Aller. Find out whether you think either one of them can actually be a starting quarterback, and have a season where you go 5-12, and then go get your quarterback in next year's draft, because there are going to be a lot of them.
I agree with that. That's not Aaron Rodgers' fault, though. Aaron Rodgers is playing the same game he's always played his whole career. Oh. I mean, he hasn't changed. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, whether you like him or not. What I'm saying is that this problem seems to be with the ownership, with the manager, the general manager, and the direction of the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization, that they just tend to stick with mediocre instead of trying to go out and I don't know if they think that the players and everything's going to come to them, but they don't seem to make moves ever. You know, you've had Coward, you've had Tomlin in my lifetime, and nothing ever really changes around there. And they seem so against change. It's not Tomlin. It's not Aaron Rodgers. This is a Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization issue, and it has been for a long time, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think though the other part of it, the Rodgers part of it, is you know, according to Adam Schefter, Rodgers had promised the Steelers an answer by 30 days from the end of the regular season. And so he's blown past that. He blew past the draft. And, you know, and now he's going to go on a visit. Again, my point is...
that's silly.
Right. This is a 43-year-old who's still acting like you need to treat him like a high school recruit. And he's not good enough anymore for that to matter. So I don't know why you go through all that nonsense to only go 8-9 again. You know, play one of those young guys, win four games, set yourself up to go get a real quarterback and move forward and find an answer. Because again, without the answer at that position, this is going to be their fate. And you're right, this is going to be their fate for as long as you know, for the next 20 years.
So they seem so resistant to change. This has been them for time now. This has been them.
Yeah, they have
8-9,
right?
8-8, 8-9.
Yeah, their history is they don't pay a lot of their highest paid players. They let them go. They don't make major moves in the draft to go get guys they like. And again, when it comes to the quarterback position, the National Football League, you can't have it. I mean, there are rare exceptions to that in history, but the reality is
who took them to the Super Bowl before Ben Roethlisberger? Was it O'Donnell?
Yeah,
Neil O'Donnell. Like that's the quarterbacks we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So maybe they're so in love with Rodgers' past, I don't know, that he's going to bring back that magic. I don't see it happening. No, at 43 years old, he's not Tom Brady. Never has been Tom Brady. Never will be Tom Brady.
Well, and remember,
I really don't know what they're waiting around for.
Yeah, even his last 2 years in Green Bay, he didn't throw for 300 yards one time.
He doesn't have the best of weapons. I'll give you that. Like, I'll give him that. He does not have the best weapons. He doesn't have the running game. He doesn't have that stuff that he did that one magical year. But
the whole thing is just so ridiculous.
They can do better.
Yeah, they can.
Better.
They can, and that's what they need to do. It's the same problem. How they haven't addressed this quarterback position through all these years is beyond me. I just don't get it. You're right. I mean, they have an organizational problem in terms of why and how their failures in not addressing this quarterback situation. And
it's like being in a bad relationship. Like,
yeah.
You're staying married for what?
Yeah.
For the convenience of it, to say that you're married, to say that you got a wife and kids.
And by the way, that's why you're so desperate that you put yourself through this Aaron Rodgers nonsense.
Yeah, you have some self-esteem.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's a good call, Josiah. You need to call more often.
All right, man.
Yep,
thank you.
Appreciate the call. Yep, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I think those are all the same issues. And again, they're just perpetually stuck in this same sort of limbo, we can just get in the playoffs. We're not good enough to win any games. We can't win any playoff games because we don't have a quarterback. And again, I think Mike Tomlin's a really good football coach, and I think he'll be coaching the NFL again soon. But I think he's right that he didn't have a quarterback. And what do you want me to do? I mean, you want me to beat? I mean, they had guys like Duck friggin' Hodges. Was one of their quarterbacks. I mean, and they've tried this drafting quarterbacks beyond round one stuff, and none of it's worked. And I'm not sure Howard or Aller's going to work either. Look, at the very least, they're both big-bodied quarterbacks. Aller has a strong arm. He's just not very accurate. I'm not going to rule either one of them out, but what I'm saying is you have to find out. And this is – see, this is why this is another reason it's so silly. You drafted Aller in the third round. You have Howard. If you believe in either one of those guys, if you think that either one of those guys is the future, well, the time to find that out is right now. It's this year. Because if Aaron Rodgers doesn't help you there either, he just delays the inevitable for a year. If you played those two guys and found out whether either of them can play, and maybe your record suffers in the process. If one of them works out and you think, yeah, this is our guy, great. Then you have an answer moving forward, and you don't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you going to go through this next year too? Is this going to be a year by year? We're going to do age 44 Aaron Rodgers? Is going to, you know, lead you around with the ring through your nose again? I mean, I just don't freaking get it. I don't get it because I think the outcome is bad from a Steelers standpoint. Regardless, it's just all Rodgers does is he wins you like four more games and he puts you right back in limbo. So don't do any of that. Play Howard, play Aller, find out whether you think either of them legitimately can be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Find that out this season, and in the process, wind up with a 4-13 record. If it looks like they can't be, then you're in position to finally get your quarterback for the next 15 years, the next 10, 15 years. Do that in this upcoming draft. We need to get to that. We're gonna, the quarterback list and that conversation, we're going to get to that. I want to briefly talk about the American Football Coaches Association and this recommendation moving forward to expand the college football playoff. And going back to Chad's question and my thoughts on it, I think this is it. I don't think we'll expand beyond that. I think they're trying to make the major jump to this. I think it's obviously orchestrated initially by the Big Ten. I think they see money signs and more money signs and more world domination, and both they and the SEC are intent on ruling college football. And the SEC didn't want the 24. I think the Big Ten is probably in a better position right now and wants all that. But make no mistake about it, this is a coach's initiative as well, and I think we shouldn't lose sight of that. The coaches want it. Why do they want it? Because they have bonus structures based on making the playoffs. Is making a 24-team playoff the same as making a 12 or making a 4? Obviously not. But you still get bonuses. You still get bonuses for making the playoffs. And a lot of that stuff's already written in to these existing contracts. So you're going to have a bonus structure for making the playoffs. And so that's why coaches want it. There were 8 coaches on this panel. Do you know how many of them voted for this, Ramona?
I'm guessing all of them.
All of them. All 8 voted for him. Did anyone see what Brett Bielema wrote, the coach of Wisconsin? Bielema on Twitter wrote, you know, it's sort of interesting. He said, you know, this is not verbatim. This is a summary of what he wrote. He wrote, you know, it's sort of interesting because the 8 coaches on the panel have only coached in 3 playoff games.
Well, they want to make it.
Right. That's it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, yeah, of course these guys are voting for it because they don't regularly make the playoff. That's what Bielema is saying. You know, so and I think he's sort of right about that. So the reasons for this are all financial. They're, again, a bigger pot, more money into the power leagues, more money for the Big Ten, especially the Big Ten, more money for the SEC in a world that is placing increasing demands and needs for revenue because of unchecked NIL. Until that changes, you require expansion. And again, are there going to be some teams in college football that probably don't belong in the playoff? Yeah, look, there's no doubt. We'll be talking about some probably ugly situations, some, you know, I don't know, 8-5 Northwesterns or, you know, that type of thing. There will be teams like that who are going to make the college football playoff, like Duke from a year ago, for example. There'll be teams like that. Of course, they won the conference that make the college football playoff. But does it harm any of us? No. It's just more football, and it involves more areas of the country. I don't think it diminishes the regular season product like people think it did. If it did, then we've already done that with the expansion to 12. Okay, we expanded to 12. Did that ruin the regular season product? No. Did it devalue? I think I heard Ben Milstein on my way in mention Ohio State and Michigan. Did it devalue Ohio State, Michigan, or is Ohio State, Michigan always going to matter? Look, adding to that, when Ohio State won the national championship 2 years ago, and they lost to Michigan in the regular season, the Buckeyes people were pissed. They were unhappy that they lost to Michigan. It didn't matter that they won the national title. They were still suffering over the Michigan loss. So I don't think you're devaluing those games. Is that more the exception than the rule? Perhaps. But here's the other thing to keep in mind. You're likely going to have more big games scheduled because you can afford the risk now. So in the old-fashioned way of thinking, could it diminish some elements of the regular season? I suppose. But could it also enhance the regular season by having more big-name teams playing each other because The risk element in terms of making the playoff is diminished? Yes, I think so. I think we could see that. So that could provide more of a balance in it. But the reality is, if you like college football, it's more meaningful games. I don't understand why people would just be universally opposed to that. It makes no sense to me. The 12 was evil, but we all seem to love the 12 now, right? Right. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the...